The following hour is brought to you by MidasResources.com. Call Midas Resources today to protect your future at 1-800-686-2237.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We have Gogs Mackay as my guest co-host with Walter Bosley, author of a number of books on fascinating subjects. And he's the kind of person that you start in a discussion and you can't stop. So a little bit farther back, we were talking about the secret space program. So you said we had made further trips to the moon. We're on Mars. Do we have a base on Mars or just paid a few visits?
I'm going to go as far as saying that I'm convinced. I think we have, you know, put boots on the ground. Now, there is a legend that I'm looking at in my research that researcher Sean Castile has written about and others about an alleged 1908 trip to Mars involving Tesla technology. Now, the reason I'm looking at this is because it would resonate with my opinion of this breakaway from the breakaway that I was talking about earlier and that I get into in my books, this what I call Team Sonora, the American group that broke off in the 1870s and was responsible, I think, this is my theory, responsible for the 1890s airship mystery. It makes sense to me that if anybody went or attempted to go off planet and go to Mars in 1908, my opinion, it would be these guys. So that's why I'm looking at it. But right now I'm just at the point where I'm still looking at it, so I have no conclusions or tidbits to offer on that. So why do I bring that up? Well, here's the thing. Theoretically, let's say they did, that might imply that there is more of a presence on Mars than we would be aware of.
You know, and you're just sounding here like a Jules Verne novel.
That's what the material certainly sounds like. Uh-huh.
I'm also thinking here when we talk about breakaway civilizations, getting back on Earth. I'm thinking Edgar Rice Burroughs wrote the Pellucidar novels
about
civilizations within the Hollow Earth. And of course, he used the early legends of Hollow Earth. But let's take it there. Let's set aside the Mars colony or wherever it might be. What about inside the Earth, all this Hollow Earth stuff? Do you think it's real?
Personally, I'd like to think it's real. I've been very personally interested in that whole thing. Those who have heard me before know that I wrote an article that appeared in Fate magazine, and it's in their hardcover book called The Best of Roswell, in which I told my father's account when he was in the Air Force of his encounter with the people from the underground, which he swore till the day he died was true. And I wrote that for the record. I wrote that under my fiction pseudonym, E.A. Guest, because at the time I was employed under a sensitive contract, and it really would have been inappropriate for me to be public as a writer when I wrote that at that time. That's me. That's the article I wrote, and that's about my dad. So I have a horse in that race, you might say. But you know what? Over the years, there's been some things that, you know, I might have been intrigued with as evidence, and then you find out, nah, there's nothing to that. But there's still – what intrigues me about that idea is that we have barely scratched the surface on how deep, for instance, we've drilled into the planet. And so, you know, we don't exactly know really – when I say we, the science and technical world, we don't exactly know what's there because we, you know, we haven't gone that deep, so to speak. So it leaves a lot of room, you know, for some good, healthy speculation. And then when you look at the ancient lore and all this weird stuff associated with people and other things emerging from cavern systems and such, you got to wonder what, if anything, is the nugget of truth to this. And I'm a big nugget of truth guy. Just like in the UFO world, we know this. Things get wildly exaggerated based on hopes and dreams and almost religious, obsession with things. And just
okay, so Ray Palmer, during the 60s, particularly continuing into the 70s, said, just as Edgar Rice Burroughs did at the turn of the century, there were holes at the North and South Pole. And if you passed over them, you can go inside the hollow earth. What's your perception, Walter Bosley?
I think the idea of the hole at the North Pole has been satisfactorily disproven. But, you know, you hear stories about Antarctica. There's a lot of writers and researchers out there that, wonder if there's not, possibly some entrance down there. You hear stories of a big old giant hole or huge immense cavern system that's been found down there. So, I would say any holes, so to speak, would be more like a cavern type of entrance that certainly could have been developed further by a human hand. But
shades of Richard Shaver.
Yeah, exactly. The thing about all of this is, it's just like with UFOs. You got a lot of lore, a lot of wishful thinking that gets mixed in with what might be the good evidence. And it ends up, we come back down to what the individual personally wants to think or conclude about it, short of going there and seeing for yourself. And I'm a strong advocate of that, go see for yourself.
So, of course, the theory that Richard Shaver presented was that the survivors of an ancient civilization that departed Earth went into the caves to protect themselves against dangerous radiation by the sun.
Uh-huh.
We have the good guys being the heroes and the bad guys being the Deros.
Uh-huh.
Now, to be fair, if you look at the biographies that came out about Ray Palmer and talking about Shaver, had problems. He was supposedly mentally ill, schizophrenic or something, mm-hmm. and that he made it all up. But then, there was a lot going on there that isn't so readily dismissed, because a lot of it relates to these legends.
Right. And I would say this. Here's how I classify the Shaver material and like material. If you're going to pack up your backpack, put on your expedition clothes, your expedition boots, and go looking for these entrances into the Hollow Earth, what you would do is you would hopefully base it on this more nugget of truth type information. But you might take the Shaver book, I Remember Lemuria, I believe it's titled, you might throw a copy of that in your backpack just in case you come across something and you go, I think Shaver might have mentioned this, so you could refer to it, but you wouldn't use it as your main guidebook. Does that make sense? That's the way I look at the lore. Keep it in your hip pocket, because there might be something in the lore that, will help you, but for the most part, don't use the lore or the questionable stuff as your main map.
Now, bear in mind here, I remember Lemuria was a fictionalized version that Ray Palmer wrote based on the material from Shaver. Now, as our listeners know, I knew Palmer. I knew Shaver. I visited Shaver at his home. I visited Palmer at his home. This goes back to the 60s and 70s. And whatever else you think about Richard Shaver, and maybe he was in the mental institution for a number of years, and supposedly he was railroaded there. That's one of the theories, too. In the books that, he was hearing these voices from these other entities, and therefore he must have been crazy. Regardless, the Richard Shaver that I wrote to for years and the Richard Shaver that I met came across as a pretty sane guy. That doesn't mean anything, because I'm not a psychiatrist. Maybe I'm not seeing the signs. Or maybe with medication he was able to keep it under control. I do not know. But I'd say this. Something happened to him that he tried to convey in his various writings. The problem is, filtered through Ray Palmer, what you see there has been done and redesigned and reconfigured to serve the audience of a fiction magazine. Because when Palmer said, you know, this is based on fact, people said, it's amazing stories. You can't do that. What we can do is tell you we have Walter Bosley. We have Gox MacKay. We even have Chris O'Brien. And Chris, now you can do it. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's A2, that's number 2, a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the Sacro Wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the Sacro Wedgie.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lung. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Why do over 50% of North Americans suffer from some form of chronic ailment? Could it be due to a toxic overload? It's time to take back your life. Get the lead out, as well as the cadmium, mercury, and calcium. Extendivite is a garlic cayenne supplement with five other herbs that acts like a natural Drano, cleaning out the stored toxins, restoring your energy and youthfulness that we've lost. If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, or fear, then Extendivite is for you. Available in either capsules or liquid, you too can see why Extendivite is the number one heart drop available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Chris has joined us. He was running late from an appointment, but a lot to say. We've been talking with Walter Bosley about breakaway civilizations, getting into the Hollow Earth and the Shaver mystery. Right. Gox MacKay, our guest co-host. Chris, you want to drop in something before we continue?
Well, you know, I would like to mention a few things that, you know, again, I've mentioned these pretty curious kind of what-if scenarios and claims several times over the years on the show, one being the grandfather of my guitar player in my band Laughing Buddha in Colorado. His grandfather was an underground demolitions worker, and he was helping expand the Los Alamos lab underground.
In the late 50s and 60s, he was helping expand Los Alamos underground. Of course, there are tons of lava tubes and natural formations underground because of the caldera of the supervolcano that sits right behind Los Alamos to the west. Anyway, he was working with his four co-workers when they broke into what he described as an ancient underground tunnel system. And they could tell by the amount of mineralization and, you know, just various other ways that you can determine the age of underground tunneling, that sort of thing. He estimated that it was at least 10,000 years old. They began to follow the tunnel that they had broken into to the south, and they got to a point where it actually branched off. One branch was headed apparently towards Albuquerque and the Sandias. The other branch was headed further west and south towards what they thought was Mount Taylor, which coincidentally is the sacred mountain of the south to the Pueblo Indians, blah, blah, blah. They got to a certain point and they realized that they didn't turn around right there and go back the way they came. They would be late clocking out for the day's work. And, of course, when they got back, he mentioned the discovery to a supervisor. He's pretty excited about it. And they were immediately separated. They were split up and put into different groups. They were told not to talk to anybody about it. He had no idea, at least at the time that the story was related. He had no idea what happened after that. He was never exposed to that again. He didn't hear anything more about it. But one of the interesting things that, as a kind of a postscript to this whole thing, the team that he was assigned to was tunneling towards the Hickory Apache Reservation, the Dolphin. And I was unable to get more information from him about that. I don't think he was on that crew for too long. It was very difficult to communicate with him. I guess blasting the dynamite and stuff underground for so many years, he could barely hear. He was, you know, mostly deaf by that time. But his son and my guitar player's dad had a very high position at the Los Alamos lab. So, I mean, this is a really well-qualified source, and I have mentioned this before on the show. I don't want to give out any names and get people in trouble, but let's just put it this way. I've got a pretty good idea that this is all, you know, legitimate information. And it's not the only time that I've run into sources that claim that there is and has been for at least 10,000 years an extensive underground tunneling system around the Southwest and possibly elsewhere. And, of course, researching my second book, I spoke with Cal Levesque, who his maps of the underground, supposed underground tunnel system that has been created by the military have become quite famous or infamous over the years. He's been involved in documenting this type of subject matter since the mid to late 70s. And actually, I just recently tried to get in touch with Cal. I left a message for him. I'd love to get him on the show. He doesn't normally do radio or TV, but I'm going to try to twist his arm and see if we can get him on the show to talk about some of his findings. But, you know, to make a long story even longer, of course, you have the underground city that allegedly exists up at Grand Canyon, just east of the confluence there, where Little Colorado comes in to the Grand Canyon, right at the eastern edge of the national park. And I'm mounting an expedition in a little over a month to go out there with a very accomplished drone pilot and attempt to map the area where G.E. Kincaid claims he climbed up the cliff face and was able to enter through a fairly large doorway that was hidden to enter into the underground city. So we're going to try to reacquire that location.
So you may be lost, Chris O'Brien, amongst the Deros and the Tiros.
Well, you're not going to see me, rock climbing down there. It's very, very difficult to get to. And the easiest way to access that particular doorway, from my understanding, is from the river. Our river crew will have climbers and spelunkers, and we'll have a crew on the rim that's going to be there a couple of days early to map the area and locate the location. We've got it narrowed down to about a quarter mile, and I think with a drone in 2 days of serious mapping, I think we're going to be able to cover a lot of ground. And if there is a doorway there, I feel confident that we'll be able to find it. Of course, this underground city is famous among the Pueblo Indians as being the place where, when you go down the Sipapu, the place of emergence, you know, just before the earth is going to cleanse itself, that's where the people are cared for by the ant people for however many generations it takes for the earth to cleanse itself. And then they reemerge and are divided up into clans. Their physical deformities are somehow corrected and they're sent off in the four directions. When the article in 1909 came out in the Phoenix Gazette, this F.A. Jordan from the Smithsonian and G.E. Kincaid claimed that even though they weren't able to go in the whole back section of the complex, by looking at the size of the front half of the complex, they estimated anywhere from 50 to 60,000 people could be housed underground in this location. And, well, if we could really, you know, prove that this is real, of course, this FDNV bunker state was just a, you know, some publicity stunt by the Phoenix Gazette, but, you know, doing quite a bit of research over the years on this, there's enough there for me to actually attempt to mount an expedition. But we did mount one in 2012, which, unfortunately, because of the windy conditions, we weren't able to do any mapping. But this year, we are going to map, and I'm really looking forward to it. It's kind of Indiana Jones type activities that I really enjoy doing.
That explains the hat that Chris wears. Walter?
I was just going to say, I'm looking forward to hearing the results about this, Chris, because I've been one of those that's interested in what you're digging into, you know, for a long time. There's a bunch of us out here, and that's going to be really, really cool when you guys do that, you know, see what you find.
I had an invitation out for Greg to fly his ultralight for his paraglider. Was it a parasail?
I think it's a parasail, yeah.
Yeah, it's a parasail around the area, but you know, because of the windy conditions, I mean, it was a 50 to 60 mile an hour wind the entire 4 days we were there. I mean, my tent blew down at night. I mean, I found sand in places I didn't know sand could actually migrate. Because of the time of year that we went in May, that's the windiest time of year, which unfortunately, we didn't factor that in. But October is generally, you know, it's after the storm season where we have the big thunderheads and the winds, and it's one of those kind of calm periods of the year up there on the rim where it's breezy most of the time, but you know, to have these really strong you know, steady 50-60 mile an hour winds, that's really difficult to fly in. So
with Gene and Chris and Walter and Goggs, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention, Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Healthy, organic, fresh fish, robust, mouth-watering vegetables, all from your home. It's called aquaponics. This brilliant, self-sustaining protein and veggie system is perfect for year-round growing. Know exactly where your food is coming from. AquaponicsSource.com is the one-stop shop for all your needs. Fish food, plumbing, full systems, classes, and more. Learn to build your own system. Go to AquaponicsSource.com for a free guide to aquaponics. That's AquaponicsSource.com.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. people who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com. And use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't pick on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes! I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
My name's Clyde, age 59, and I reside in Florence, South Carolina. The doctors diagnosed me as having clogged arteries. Felt like I was carrying heavy concrete blocks around my feet and legs. I started taking heart and body extract as directed. It is less than 3 weeks, and I'm like a young man again. It's unbelievable that an herbal formula can work so fast and so powerfully.
Learn the secrets of an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation at hbextract.com.
This is Kurt Sutherby, author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
What's fascinating here is how close we all are to the legends of civilizations beneath the earth. And the Shaver legend also is about having these deformed beings who fled to the center of the earth until perhaps when the earth cleanses itself. So much resemblance with all these legends, and you wonder what kind of truth there is. But we're talking about a couple of separate things here. We're talking about an inner earth civilization that's been around for a long, long time. And yeah. We're talking about breakaway civilizations, two of them, Walter Bosley, so we consider them totally separate, right?
Yes, although I would say the older of those two was influenced by ancient things, and just to keep it simple, I'll leave it at that.
Inspired by?
Influence inspired by, particularly when you're getting into the what may be Mercury vortex technology kind of thing, you know. Yeah. The some of this lore we're talking about certainly has a role in the development and the emergence of these 19th century breakaway civilizations that. Because what we're talking about today in the 21st century and, you know, through the 20th century, I think, this is my personal position, that, you know, the breakaways that, you know, Dolan defined and talks about and that Joseph Farrell and them talk about, I think these are the ones that I'm talking about emerged in the 19th century. Definitely influenced, though, by ancient ideas.
Troglodytes.
Yeah, or that.
Cool. Well, I'm really looking forward to this particular excursion. And, you know, over the years, it's almost impossible to not stumble on cross-cultural stories and traditions of underground dwelling entities. You have the Nagas in the Buddhist and Tibetan traditions, in the you know, the traditions in the Puebloan Southwest. You have Pululu Kang, the great reptile that holds the earth in balance, that allegedly lives at the center of the earth, and you know, there are these types of traditions that have their own sort of subcultural or cultural spin on them, but they all seem to have a common thread of some sort of reptilian form that exists underground, is not particularly benevolent, shall we say. Generally, they're either neutral or malevolent, depending on the time and place and the particular scenario. It's almost impossible not to run into these types of traditions. And, right. You know, I think that all myths and legends have some sort of beginning point, some sort of basis in some fact. And then, of course, over the eons and millennia, obviously things get piled on, things get twisted a little bit. The stories gain a new sort of complexion. But I think if you boil them all down, there is something tangible at the beginning of these stories, and enough to make me intrigued and continue my particular research into these various myths, legends, stories, and traditions. I really do think there's something to it. It may not actually be the way the traditional stories say it is, but right. there's something there. I really have a strong hunch, and my intuition tells me that there is something there, that we do have intelligent entities, beings, animals, whatever, that are subterranean. I'm pretty convinced of that. Okay, this is a question from Silifan, who is a brand new signee up at forum.theparacast.com, where our listeners get to ask our guests probing questions. And he joined this past Tuesday. It's a three-part question for you, Walter. Okay. If you've been involved with counterintelligence, the Stargate project comes to mind. Even though it was a CIA project, what are your thoughts or concerns on the project and some of the experiments that they conducted?
Well, based on what I know, it was the famous or infamous, however you look at it, remote viewing program that they were developing. I don't really have any concerns other than, as somebody who has, you know, used remote viewing himself, there's that personal ethic that, you know, you won't misuse it on the personal level. That would be my only concern. I it doesn't bother me that, you know, the government was doing this, doesn't, you know, because I really what they wanted to apply it to. But you'll find I'm more of the pro mad scientist type. I say, you know,
right.
Let's do it.
he wonders in this second part of his question that he's wondering if you think the project was just a bunch of hocus pocus, quote unquote. Or do you think it could have had some legitimacy to it?
Oh, yeah, I absolutely think it was a real project. I was convinced long ago that it was a real project. So, yeah, I think it happened.
Well, then the part three of his question is, do you know of anything similar being used by the FBI, either in the past or present, that you'd be able to discuss? Has any sort of success transitioned over to other agencies, to your knowledge?
To my knowledge. Now, not as such. And that's as far as I'll go.
Okay. I'll just kind of add this. Do you know of any reliance or even the, you know, the possibility of attempting to use psychics for any sort of missing persons cases, let's say, or to solve any sort of crimes? Do you know of any?
Well, I think we all know that, you know, there's reports and stories of, you know, police departments and such employing, you know, psychics to see if that would help. We also know there's lots of stories where it didn't do any good.
Right.
My personal view on the psychic stuff is psychic powers are real until – here's a weird thing, and I embrace this position. Funny thing how once you start running your mouth and telling a lot of people you can do something, and the minute you start taking a dime for it, it just doesn't seem to work anymore.
Yeah. Well,
so the commercial intent there, does that kill the ability to do it?
Because what happens is there's something, and this is my opinion, folks. This is my position, based on my research and, you know, experience to whatever degree whoever's listening to this is going to respect. Because I know there's people that just can't buy this stuff at all. There's something that goes on, I think, in the subconscious that it's once you're doing it for, you know, pay or whatever, it's less true, it's less pure, the intent. To go back to, is it being used, you know, officially or formally by the FBI or such, here's been my experience. What happens is, you know, people that are in that line of work where they're either an FBI agent or some type of federal investigator or intelligence operative, you have mentors in your life. Believe me, you have the guys who, you know, bring you into this because it's very much that way. I was essentially brought into this by a relative. And you learn these kinds of spooky techniques and things from individuals like that. You're never sent to Quantico to learn remote viewing, but your former agent, your former spook, you know, uncle or whatever aunt that's brought you into this, they're going to be the ones who teach you that stuff. And believe me, to some degree, it can come in very handy.
I'm going to ask you something here. We only have 50 seconds left for this segment. Consider on the other side. I know Chris has some other things he wants to pursue, and I think we're going to have to continue this discussion on After the Paracast, this week's episode, with Goggs and Walter and Chris. And that is here. We did a show a couple of weeks back with the producer-director of a film called Montauk Chronicles.
Uh-huh.
And that was about the Montauk Project, where supposedly they were pulling all this stuff on the east end of New York there, where they were doing all sorts of mind control experiments, and even other stuff involving human testing that might have resulted in fatalities.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever heard of the Montauk Project? And if you did, what do you think about it? That's going to be on the other side with Gene, Chris, Walter, and Goggs. You're in
the podcast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
We've been patiently waiting. Waiting while you tried to ignore us. Waiting while you acted like we didn't exist. Waiting for our chance to be taken seriously. The wait is over. GCN is available 24/7 at GCNLive.com. Navigate through news from your favorite host and download archives of past shows. Download the app on your smartphone or tablet or visit GCNLive.com for instant access and live streaming. GCNLive.com. The future of talk radio. Now at your fingertips.
We the
Do you owe the IRS money? Has the IRS garnished your wages or put a lien against your house? The IRS has the power to make you pay back what they claim you owe and will stop at nothing to collect. There is a solution. Call Signature Tax now. Speak with our professionals and feel the weight of your tax burden lifted from your shoulders. Call now for your free and confidential analysis. 800-481-3147. Again, that's 800-481-3147. 800-481-3147.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So I wanted to follow up because we had Christopher Garitano a while back on the Paracast with his film, The Montauk Chronicles, about the Montauk Project. So, Walter Bosley, what's your take on that? Any familiarity with that subject?
Oh, of course I'm familiar with it, and I will say it's been enough years. I think I can stay out of trouble. I think in my last year as an OSI agent, back when, you know, you got that credential and badge that can get you out of certain scrapes, I actually did my own little recon of the Camp Hero Park. And so I found that there was a big old hole in the fence right off the road there. And I went through it, and I didn't go as deep into the tower or anything like that, because quite frankly, it was clear that it was still a active, you know, like state park site. You know, at the time, I wasn't sure who all was in there. And, you know, even though, you know, I was still on state property, I just didn't feel like public, you know, ostensibly. I just felt like, okay, I've poked around here enough, you know, on my own. So, I lived on Long Island for 3 years when I was with the FBI in Manhattan. I lived there in West Babylon. My son was born on Long Island and such. So, yeah, I'm very familiar with Montauk itself and of course, the Montauk Chronicles, the books. Matter of fact, I have the one about the Black Sun book written by Preston Nichols or Peter Moon sitting right over here across the room from me because I was looking at it. Now, here's the thing about that material is, you know, there's certain aspects of it that, you know, it's iffy. It's that particular material is very iffy. The Montauk Chronicles film, my adopted kid's boyfriend just got a copy of it here a few weeks back, and I watched it. And it's a very atmospheric, moody kind of, you know, and sometimes creepy and eerie kind of film. Again, this goes back to like what Chris was saying, what I was saying earlier. You know, it's the nugget of truth thing. Do I think there might have been something going on at Montauk? Yeah, I think there might have been. Now, if it's what the popular books by Nichols and Moon purport, I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I personally, I don't know. I'm iffy on that material as it's presented, but I don't consider myself an expert on it. But it's very, very intriguing, I think, the root of what they're trying to say there. And some of the stuff that might be iffy could have been stuff that is a result of, you know, someone being screwed with mentally to mask whatever the nugget of truth is. But there's something there.
Chris, we have a question from Technomage.
Right. Technomage is wondering about, you know, he listened to one of our interviews with Daryl Sims, and I guess in 2007, where Sims was adamant that UFOs are involved in cattle mutilations because of the weird fluorescent coatings found on cattle. He's wondering if I'm aware of his point of view on the mutilations, and have I addressed this anywhere? He says, I haven't heard this discussed with Daryl the last time he was on, but I know you disagree with his point of view. It's not that I disagree with it. I just feel that there's no data to support it. We only have one case and one example of fluorescent type. Actually, it was a ultraviolet paint that was or some sort of substance that was found on the backs of a number of cattle on the Manuel Gomez ranch when Howard Burgess and then State Patrolman Gabe Valdez ran animals under a black light at night, and they did find this fluorescent material on their backs. Well, they staked out the herd and obviously kept these particular animals under close observation, and much to their surprise, nothing happened. And when they ran the cattle a number of days later, they ran them through the chute again under the black light, none of them had the fluorescent material. It somehow had vanished. So that case is the only case that we have that suggests that this type of marking, if you will, activity has been taking place. I routinely ran black lights over, a majority of the cases that I investigated, and I never found any obvious fluorescent material. Occasionally I would find some little bits and points of fluorescent material, but mostly on the legs or the sides of the animal, never on the back. So there you go.
Okay. Let's move on here. We have decided, by the way, we're going to continue this discussion on After the Paracast this week.
Cool.
Just too many places to go. All right. So here's where we stand, folks. We have a crazy world out there. We may have a secret space program. We may have not just one, but two breakaway civilizations. That gets to be pretty spectacular. And maybe those breakaway civilizations are influencing us. Maybe there is a gradual program to acquaint us with the presence of E.T. And let's get into that, maybe our final issue here in the remaining couple of minutes, Walter Bosley. So you do accept that we set aside all the stuff that we're doing here. Something is coming from out there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I've been convinced. I accept the existence of E.T., yeah.
But how do we separate that from possible government disinformation? Because we can talk about that, especially in connection with the early days in the UFO field, where we're doing all this testing of these Nazi inventions with all the Nazi scientists that joined our space program, like the Ghost Rockets or Roswell.
Here's two things to consider. Number one, for whatever reason, you're going to know for sure when they, the ET, let you know for sure. They hold the cards on that. For whatever reason, they hold the cards on their own disclosure, number one. Number two, consider what we were talking about earlier, that the secret of ET might be that it might be just be us, you know, another group of us that could be every bit as human as us, and that would make it easier for them to move among us, right? So we might be looking for the wrong thing. We're looking for grays. We're looking for little green men. You know, we're not looking for, you know, some guy that looks like Joe Schmo, the cab driver.
Well, remember, Klaatu looked human.
Exactly. So, you know, I think there's some of that going on. For whatever reason, we just don't have the answer yet or the incontrovertible evidence that's going to convince everybody yet. We just don't have it. And I say that's because they're the ones holding the cards on that.
So is it then possible that the gray aliens we see are illusions,
It's possible that they're illusions. It's possible that they're some type of automaton. It's possible that they are – there's the whole interdimensional discussion, which I think is very valid to look at. But when you're talking extraterrestrial, it might be that there's a much larger human factor in this. Quite frankly, there's some people that just don't want to hear that.
Well, we want to hear it because we're going to hear more of this in After the Paracast this week. But I'll tell you how to subscribe in a moment. Walter Bosley, can you tell our listeners where we can find more of the things that you do?
Absolutely. And I'd like to add that I'm going to be speaking at the Secret Space Program Conference in Bastrop, Texas on October 31st.
It is cool. Halloween.
Exactly. And in Bastrop, which if you're familiar with your airship mystery reports, newspapers in Bastrop and people in the Bastrop area were seeing these things in the 1890s. So it's a perfect place for the SSP conference. You can find information on how to go to that conference at the same place you can find out about my books, and that's empireofthewheel.blogspot.com. I am also on Facebook. I have a public profile there. You can just, you know, friend me there. And I'm also on Twitter. But empireofthewheel.blogspot.com. And my books are on Kindle and Amazon and print on demand at Lulu.
So for the Paracast Plus, we're giving away a new thing here now. So the Paracast Plus at plus.theparacast.com. It works this way. You subscribe, you get the ad-free version of this show, you get After the Paracast, which this week will include more discussions with Walter Bosley. And if you subscribe for 1 year, I'm going to change it. I'm going to change the rules now. We'll give you a copy of Secrets of the Mysterious Valley from Chris O'Brien, the ebook version, which we're offering for newsletter subscribers too, but not for very much longer. If you go for 5 years, you get that book and book number two, door number two, Stalking the Tricksters, for a 5-year subscription. Go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com to learn more. Check us out on Twitter. Look for The Paracast and The Paracast Fan Clubs, plural, on Facebook. Gox Mackay, Walter Bosley, thank you both for joining us on The Paracast.
Cheers, Gene.
Thank you guys again. I appreciate being here.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Do you owe the IRS money? Do you have years of unfiled returns? Has the IRS garnished your wages or put a lien against your house? The IRS has the power to make you pay back what they claim you owe and will stop at nothing to collect. If you are losing sleep over your IRS tax problem, there is a solution. Call Signature Tax now. Speak with our professionals and feel the weight of your tax burden lifted from your shoulders. Call 800-643-4661 for your free and confidential analysis on ending your tax nightmare. We can help get your life back on track. and give you the fresh start you deserve. Our A-plus BBB-rated tax resolution team has over 125 years of combined experience to get you the best deal possible while stopping the IRS dead in their tracks. Call Signature Tax now at 800-643-4661. Call 800-643-4661. Again, that's 800-643-4661. 800-643-4661.